Now we will turn to God's Word and read from Joshua chapter 2. And today we are looking at verses 12 through 24. In my pew Bible is page 195. Together. Now therefore I beg you, swear to me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you also will show kindness to my father's house, and give me a true token, and spare my father, my mother, and my brother, my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. So the men answered her, "Our lives for yours. If none of you tell this business of ours, that it shall be, when the Lord has given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with you." Then she let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was on the city wall, and she dwelt on the wall. And she said to them, "Get to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you. Hide there 3 days until the pursuers have returned. Afterward, you may go your way." So the men said to her, "We will be blameless of this oath of yours, which you have made us swear, unless when we come into the land, you bind this line of scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down, and unless you bring your father, your mother, your brothers, and all your father's household to your own home. So it shall be that whoever goes outside the doors of your house into the street, his blood shall be on his own head, and we will be guiltless. And whoever is with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if a hand is laid on him. And if you tell this business of ours, then we will be free from your oath, which you made us swear." Then she said, "According to your words, so be it." And she sent them away, and they departed. And she bound the scarlet cord in the window. They departed and went to the mountain, and stayed there 3 days until the pursuers returned. The pursuers sought them all along the way, but did not find them. So the two men returned, descended from the mountain, and crossed over. And they came to Joshua the son of Nun, and told him all that had befallen them. And they said to Joshua, "Truly the Lord has delivered all the land into our hands, for indeed all the inhabitants of the country are faint-hearted because of us." May God bless His words to our hearts today for His praise and glory. Dominion starts in the family. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, before we can make an impact in the world for Jesus Christ, we have to be strong and united in our homes. For us to be strong and united in our homes, we must have a uniting force, a person or principle that unites us, holds us together. That force is a covenant faith in Jesus Christ. When many strong and united families then are joined together in the church, we can then set our sights on the world, to bring the world under the dominion of Jesus Christ. God frowns on detached parties in war. So it's not surprising to see covenant sister Rahab united with the Jews, that she wanted to work for the expanding of the kingdom, that she started with her family. It's easy to set her sights on the world, and the Lord saying, no, start with those next to you. Start in your home. And this is what God will teach you about today from His Word. Our headings are three. First, Rahab requests protection for her family. Second, Rahab was required to live faithfully for her family's protection. And then third, Rahab's family was required to live faithfully to receive God's protection. Our goals are that you will learn to plead for and work for covenant blessings to come on those who are closest to you, knowing that a strong family can accomplish more for Christ's kingdom into which you were graciously brought. Heading number one, Rahab requests protection for her family. And you notice some of the underlined words. Now therefore, that's Rahab speaking, I beg you, swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my father's house. Rahab had established her faith with her newfound blood brothers. They looked forward for the blood of Jesus Christ. And that joined them together. And based on that unity of faith, she then pleaded for covenant blessings upon her family. She had already confirmed that she knew the covenant God Jehovah, that He was the God of heaven and earth, that He had given the Jews the land, and that Abraham's seed would bring blessings on all the nations of the earth, and that none could stop God from accomplishing His purpose. So it is understandable, it is only logical that she would want these covenant blessings to come upon her family. That is the promise of God He made to Abraham. That's recounted for us by the Apostle Peter on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, verse 39. Let's read that together. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord your God will call. And this woman here was far from the kingdom. The Canaanites were about the worst of the worst people in the world, and yet the Lord was calling Rahab to be one of His children. And she showed that she understood this. She knew that covenant blessings would come through family members. That's what the scriptures have taught from the very beginning. And that's what was taught by the Apostle Paul in the New Testament as well. Let's read from 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 14 together. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean. Now they are holy. You see how terrible it is when Baptists say children are unholy and they're outside of the kingdom? God says they're holy. How dare people say they're not? And how does that blessing come? How does it come to the family? It comes through the covenant. Your children being baptized doesn't save them. But they're declared to be holy, separate, different from the world. And that's what Rahab set her sights on. She's saying, I need to bring these people in so they will receive the blessings that I have. Do they believe in Jesus Christ? It doesn't seem so. But she wanted them to come into her house, come in and be joined to the people of God, and to accept that which she had. And what a difference. Look at how Rahab's language changed. These are not the words of a harlot. She asked the spies to swear by Jehovah God, not some generic non-existent pagan god that the people of Canaan worship. Rahab knew God personally, and she's saying, save my family. Bring them into the covenant community. And this is not, of course, asking for their physical life alone. Certainly that was part of it. But she was a good daughter. She was a good sister. And she was pleading for the salvation of her family. And isn't this what we plead for as well? Isn't this how you pray for your boys and your girls? Isn't this praying, if you are a child, isn't praying for your parents' salvation the most incredible way of honoring them? It's very easy in our world today to think that taking care of our parents means making sure they have a good nursing home, or making sure they have money, or making sure we visit them at the holiday time. But if you really want to honor your parents who are not believers, pray for them. Pray for them. Bring the gospel to them. And that's what she set her sights on. Learn from this woman, the ex-prostitute, who now shows what happens when someone is changed by the power of the gospel, how she pleads. Do you, as a brother, as a sister, do you pray for your unsaved loved brother or sister? Do you pray that they will come into the covenant community? Do you pray that they will walk with the Lord? Do you pray that they may enjoy the promise of the covenant? And what is the promise of the covenant? For them, it was going into the promised land. That was the first step, because that's where Jesus would come to die for the sins of the world. But it wasn't just inheriting the land. It was that of eternal life. That's what John said in 1 John chapter 2, verse 25. Together. And this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. How much different is this from what you hear people pray for these days? Lord, make me healthy, wealthy, and wise. Lord, help me to excel in my job and to win the race I'm in. It's okay to pray for other things, but praying for salvation is the greatest thing for which you can pray. It might not seem as tangible, because it's not something you can put in the bank, or you can put on a plaque on your wall that says director. But it's far more important than anything else you can do for your family. Dominion begins in the family. Don't try to change the world if you're not trying to change your family first. Number three. Notice how different this is from today, when children are trained to think selfishly. As I mentioned last week, how easy it is to dump your old parents or grandparents in a nursing home so they won't bother you from all your work and your busy lifestyle. And because grown children are busy with many other things, how hard it is for them to pick up a phone and call their parents. But faith is shown by love. Love is not a feeling. Love is an act of your goodwill toward God and toward your neighbor. Now let's continue reading some from verses that we started reading about last week. James chapter 2, verses 18 through 21. Together. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? You notice the sarcasm there. Yeah, you say you believe in God. Even demons believe in God. That's not very much. Saying you have faith in God, it's okay. But anyone can say that. Showing you have faith in God, that's what really matters. And Rahab gave us an example of that. Showing that faith by her works. She could have said, I'm comfortable, who cares about them? I could be really the important one, the one from Canaan, and be recognized and treated as a celebrity. And she says, that's not the way she approached it. He said, please save my family. And not just my mother, not just my father and my brother and sisters, but all that they have as well. I want to save them as well. So there she was. She's pleading. But look at how the men respond. Rahab, second main point, was required to live faithfully for her family's protection. Rahab was required to live faithfully for her family's protection. Now the spies then made an oath to bring Rahab's family into the covenant family and offer protection to them. And note the strength of the language of the oath that they used. They said, our lives for your lives. We will give our lives as a guarantee for your life. In other words, they would rather die than break a promise they made to a covenant child. You see the closeness of how Christians live, how they ought to live. we will give our lives for your life. That's understanding Christian duty. I have a friend who's a pastor who'd often say, one of the reasons we haven't won the world, the Muslims for Christ in this world, is because many people are not ready to die. We want to keep our blood in our own bodies. We don't love the people enough to die. And their response is a vow saying, we would rather die. But here's the thing. The oath was conditional. There's no such thing as unconditional oaths. Christians do not make unconditional covenants. They set three conditions upon Rahab. You see, that's the mutual accountability. You don't just die for somebody and say, okay, I'll die for you. You understand that there's a bond. There's something that joins you together, and then they set the conditions forth under which they would be willing to die. First, Rahab was required to help protect them in their war against the seven nations of Canaan by keeping their work secret. She would not hinder the war effort by causing the Canaanites maybe to set an ambush for Israel. Now, John Calvin believed that this requirement to keep this secret was for her own protection. That if she told anyone about this work, how she helped the spies, that they would kill her. But I believe that this was really for the protecting of Israel and Rahab, not just to protect herself, but the nation itself. She was involved in the war that is going on. That's why her lie was perfectly justified. In fact, it was credited as an act of faith by God. You see, in Christianity, you are your brother's keeper. Remember that phrase when God called Cain and said, where is your brother? And he said, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? The Lord didn't even dignify that with a response, because he was his brother's keeper. You are your brother or sister's keeper in Christianity. When your brother hurts, you should hurt. You should not be divorced from the suffering of your brother and sister. What does Galatians 6 say? Bear one another's burdens, and so you will fulfill the law of Jesus Christ. This is what you vowed a few weeks ago when we had the baptism of Gabrielle. Or any new member who joins the church, you are saying, yes, we will support this person because that's part of our family. If you don't want to be involved in the life of the church, how are you contributing to the kingdom? If you're separate, Rahab was told, you must help your brother and sisters, and we will honor our commitment to you. The second thing, she was required to hang a scarlet cord down from her window. Verse 17 and 18 says that, so the men said, we will be blameless of this oath of yours, which you have made us swear, unless when we come into the land, you bind this line of scarlet cord. There is no proof why they chose a scarlet or red cord from the window. Other colors might have been more visible than red against the background of what the walls would have been made of. But we can make some reasonable conclusions. You have to always be careful in the Bible that you don't see types or typology that isn't there. But I see this as that there must be something more, that they're requiring a scarlet cord. I don't think it is unreasonable to see how this was similar to the blood of the Passover that was brushed upon the doors of the Jews in Egypt. A blood which protected them from death. Look at how it's described in Exodus chapter 12, verse 23. Together, for the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians. Now when he sees the blood on the lintel of the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and not allow the destroyer to come into your house to strike you. In this case, there's one window, and hanging from the window would be the scarlet cord, which may picture something of the blood of the Passover. And it's not unreasonable to see how this blood that flowed down from the Lord's side was being pictured by this scarlet cord that's hanging from this window as well. Scarlet was constantly associated with the blood sacrifices of the Old Testament and pictured the cleansing from sin. You would see the scarlet, this blood being mentioned in the color in Leviticus chapter 14, 4, 6, and 51, and then again in Numbers 19, 6. And was not the Lord Himself as your sacrifice covered in a scarlet robe, as mentioned in Matthew chapter 27, verse 28, together? And they stripped Him and put a scarlet robe on Him. There must be some link there to remind us of the work of Jesus Christ. But even if those things could not be proven beyond a doubt, certainly the cord down the window was to show the distinction between the covenant people and the non-covenant people. Even though her family might not have been believers, because they were in the covenant, they enjoyed some of the blessings of the covenant. That is how God is pleased to bless. And you have two similar tokens today. You have the red wine that we share in the Lord's Supper. We do not share it with those who do not submit to the Lord. In fact, we use that to mark a distinction between those who are submitting to the Lord and those who are not. We also have baptism as a second token that distinguishes us from non-believers. Thankfully, God has changed that from a bloody sign of circumcision where the blood flowed to the ground to water baptism. But it's a token nonetheless that initially was red to that now which is plain. And those who reject Christ and therefore cannot have the Lord's Supper and cannot share in baptism, they're doing so at their own peril. And that's what they told Rahab, wasn't it? They said, if we don't see that cord hanging down, your blood is on your own head. If we don't publicly display that you are part of the covenant family, you can die. You probably will die. But if it's there, then we will know that there is the covenant people of God. And third, Rahab had to make sure, which is point number four, Rahab had to make sure that her family remained in the covenant house to receive the benefits from it. Now, she could not force them, but she was to urge them to her fullest ability to remain in the covenant community. And brothers and sisters, you too have an obligation to work to convince your relatives by your lives and your testimony that there is no safety without Jesus Christ. If you're not in Him, you have no place of rest. In fact, you need to be clear that their lives are in mortal danger unless they acknowledge and remain in Jesus Christ. Unless they remember that His blood was shed for their sins, and that His blood is painted on the walls of their heart, and that their lives reflect that by their outward obedience in submitting to the Church of Jesus Christ. And what was Rahab's response? When the men demand and say, yes, you want to plead for your family, but now we want you to understand that it's conditional. We promise that they will be brought in, but it's conditional. What was her first act following the oath of the spies? Her first act was to deceive the Canaanites and make them think that the spies were not near Canaan, and sending the spies into them to look beyond where they were. And did not send the, in fact, she sent the spies into the mountains to hide, and the ones who were searching for them, send them away along the plains. Indeed, in the mountain of the Lord is safety. In Mount Zion, you see so much of that picture too in the scriptures. The Psalms are full with reminding us that where the mountain of the Lord is, Mount Zion, you are in safety. Jerusalem itself was set up on a mountain for protection. And indeed you are called to Mount Zion today. Now, did Rahab lack faith that she sent them to hide in the mountains and to lie? Did the men lack faith when they did not? If God promised them the land, why did they go and hide for 3 days up in the mountain? After all, it'd be cold up there, it'd be difficult for them, maybe dangerous. Why do they go to the mountain? Faith does not remove the responsibility to work. God has given His promise, but responsibilities are always attached. And this old woman of questionable reputation was used by God to play an important part in the war effort. You know, it's like praying, Lord, give us this day our daily bread as you have promised. What's the responsibility? Work. I mean, it's a good day thinking, give us this day our daily bread, and you lay in your bed. It's not a pleasant thing with the cold weather we've been having. You don't want bread coming down from your roof, do you? No, you go out and you work with the strength that God gives you. And then you're able to have in abundance, not only for yourself, but to give to others. So faith must be accompanied by works. Works of faith. And this was part of her faithful living in order for her family to live in safety. Suppose she had said, well, I don't care about you guys now. You made your promise, that's up to you. Her brothers may have been killed. And then what protection would she have had? So you see how it works together. Faith works. We come to a third main point now. First she pleads, bring my family, keep them safe. The man says, we will do so conditionally, that we have a mutual accountability and mutual support, and we'll work together for the kingdom of Christ. But they also said, it's not just the two of us, it's also this family. Rahab's family was required to live faithfully for protection. And that's why they said in verse 19, so it shall be, whoever goes outside of your family that comes, who goes outside the doors of your house into the streets, his blood shall be on his own head, and we will be guiltless. Rahab's family had to follow the stern instructions if they wanted to be protected. They had to stay in the house with the red cord hanging outside the window. To wander outside meant death. Later, these people showed their faith and remained in Rahab's house until they were taken to safety with God's people. Look at the fulfillment in Joshua chapter 6, verse 23. Together, and the young men who had been spies went in and brought out Rahab, her father, her mother, her brothers, and all that she had. So they brought out her relatives and left them outside the camp of Israel. There they were safe. Brothers and sisters, it's not hard to see how covenant children endanger their spiritual health when they walk away from covenant blessings, when they leave the covenant community, and how tragic that can be for them. This is why you must work and tirelessly pray to make sure that covenant children remain in the covenant. This effort to keep them faithful to the covenant must be much stronger than your efforts to feed them. It must be much stronger than the efforts to give them a university education. Much stronger than the efforts to make them fit in socially. Much stronger than the efforts to see them married and live a comfortable life. This is far more important and should take far more work than those other things. I know there's so many, especially us from Eastern cultures, where we think that getting an education for children, university education, is our highest goal. And so many families work so hard to have enough money to make sure that their children never have to worry about a penny in going to school. And then we wonder why they walk away. You know how many Christian kids go off to university and walk away from Christ? They had all the money, but they didn't have the training. They didn't have the prayer behind them, the teaching, the discipline, because the parents were too busy saving up to pay the school fees, or even feeding them the food. There's so much about food that people go crazy about making sure the kids have everything they need, and they're so worried about the food might not be perfect for my child. Who knows what they put in those hot dogs? Now, hot dogs are terrible food, but you don't. There's so much more important things than something that might not be perfect for the human body. What about what's perfect for the soul? You put more emphasis on that. That's something that we have to wrestle with as Christians. Don't endanger the spiritual health of your children by ignoring the things that truly matter. Second, Rahab unequivocally agreed by an oath to fulfill her responsibilities as she was told by the spies, that she was going to tell them, if you leave, you're on your own head, but I want you to come here. Here you are safe. She knew that covenant would not succeed, though, and dominion would not be established if commitment to the family and then commitment to the church community was not required. She knew how important that was, and she started with her family. Oh yes, we can be sad that things are not good in the world and that Christianity is on the decline in North America and Western Europe. But if we think that somehow the passing good laws will change it, we're mistaken. It starts where Rahab started. She herself was part of the covenant community, and she fulfilled her responsibility to the covenant community by starting in her home. And then the last few verses. The men went back to Joshua, and the men said to Joshua, truly the Lord has delivered all the lands into our hands. Look at what this did to the men. Look at how this encouraged the men. Earlier they had said to Rahab, when the Lord give us this land, in verse 14, when the Lord has given us this land. They didn't say if the Lord has given us this land. Their faith was raised up. Their faith came alive because they saw how God worked even through this woman. Imagine how much courage you give each other when you encourage each other, when people see you living a godly life. It's not just about you. It gives an encouragement to the entire covenant community. And then they go to Joshua and says, truly, the Lord has delivered the land into our hands. They didn't fight anyone else yet. They have the giants in the land, the mighty warriors. And now they're going to Joshua and say, Joshua, the Lord's given us this land. It doesn't seem like Joshua even told them of what the Lord had promised them earlier. You'll see this again later. But just by going there, they came back. And what a confirmation this was to the leader. Then the leader will know, absolutely, God has told me this. These men go there and they see the work of God. And now I am encouraged. And the leader was ready to go. For indeed, that was the promise of God. That's how providence can be an incredible way of strengthening our faith. Let's conclude. Rahab showed that she had faith by her actions, by hiding the spies and deceiving the king of Canaan. Rahab showed her testimony. Showed her faith by her testimony, confirming that Jehovah was the true God of heaven and earth, the one that none can stop. Today you saw further evidence of her faith when Rahab showed her love for her family and pleaded that they would be protected and be brought into the covenant family of God. She wanted to save them from destruction. Seeing her love for God and the people, the men agreed that they would protect her extended family, provided that she remained faithful to the covenant, and provided that they remained faithful to the covenant. See, God's promises are always conditional. God expects you to walk in obedient faith. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, do you pray for your brother at home? Do you pray for your sister at home? Do you plead that your covenant children, marked by the token of baptism, that they participate in the Lord's Supper and remain in the covenant and claim His promises and fulfill their responsibilities? You know, it's not automatic. Not because your children are baptized, it means everything's okay with their souls. You want to see them come and profess their faith and participate in the Lord's Supper and remain faithful and work in the covenant community. That's how you'll work for the expansion, the building of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Second, are you willing to give up your life for your family or your covenant family? You notice how the men said, our lives for your lives. We will die to protect you if you're faithful to the covenant. If you are willing it would show how much you value what that you would value what your Savior has done for you, how He bought you with His own blood. The one who's not willing to die shows he's not fully grasped the work of Jesus Christ. The more you grasp Christ's salvation for you, the more you would say, my life is nothing. To lose my life for the sake of Christ is nothing. He did what nobody else could do. My giving of my life is nothing compared to what He has done for me. It's just but a token of my love for Him. Now it's true, the Lord doesn't often call us in North America today to give our lives for our family. But many places around the world, that's a day-to-day struggle. But while the Lord may not call us to die today, how about dying to ourselves for our family? Giving up something we love to discipline our children, to teach them. Giving up of something we like so we can be a good wife or a good husband. To do something that's good for our husband or wife. See, if you value what God has done for you, if the richness of Christ is filling your heart, you will realize, if I have to make sacrifices for my loved ones, for my covenant community, for my brother or sister in Christ, that will become easy to do. It will not be a difficult struggle. Third, do you realize how much God can accomplish even through seemingly small and insignificant people? I mean, David was a little young shepherd boy. God called him to destroy Goliath. So many stories are told of people who came from nothing, and the Lord used them in a small way. Don't ever shortchange yourself and think, well, the Lord can't use me. It might be a simple word you say. It might be a kindness you show at your workplace. The Lord can use that for the building up of His kingdom. The strengthening of His saints, the salvation of His elect. Don't shortchange yourself. Allow yourself to be used. He used an old prostitute, an ex-prostitute, to accomplish so much for His kingdom. Not only that, He then used her to be a mother of Jesus Christ. Can you imagine that? And four, do you remember that you can only do these things if you are God's child through faith in Jesus Christ? You will not be ready to die for others. Truly, you might do it for other things, but you'll never be truly able, ready to die, where the Lord will reward that work, unless you do it through faith in Jesus Christ. That's what gives us the ground for any of our actions. That's what should give us the ground. And finally, if you're not a Christian, your loyalty must change. You are on the wrong side of this war. You must change or God will destroy you. If you surrender your life to Him, you can be sure that He will not only take you in, but He will adopt you as a son, and He will give you a new name and a new record and a new life. He will do this for you because He imputed your punishment upon Jesus Christ. Remember this. What would it profit you if you gained the whole world but lose your own soul? Let us pray.